Take your Bibles in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. And I've never thought about this in this light before. But tonight, I believe the Lord wants us to look at it. I've been hung up, kind of. It just seems like every time I turn around, I'm looking at the word thanks or thanksgiving. I looked at the first mention last week, and it just seemed like the Lord didn't really light a fire under that yet. But this is where the Lord, as I prayed last night and sought the Lord's direction for the prayer meeting, this is where the Lord took me. In verse 54 of chapter number 15 of the book of 1 Corinthians, the Bible said, "So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption." How many's looking forward to that day? Amen. "When this corruptible will put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." The Bible said here in verse number 55, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law." But look here in verse 57. "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. I want to look at this victory tonight in chapter number 15 of the book of 1 Corinthians. And I hope tonight that, you know, every one of us that are saved by the grace of God ought to live in victory. But we don't always do it, do we? Sometimes we're defeated. Sometimes we're discouraged. Sometimes we're despondent. Sometimes we're depressed. Some people would never admit that. But I'm going to tell you what, there are some times when God's people are just not living in victory. But tonight, I believe that God wants to help us. And as we look into this chapter and just see some reasons and how that we can live in victory, maybe more than we do, and that would be a blessing, wouldn't it? Amen? To live in victory more than we do. Let's pray. Father, we sure do love you tonight. We thank you, dear Lord, tonight for your love that you've manifested towards us. I pray, Father, tonight that you'll clothe us in our calling. God, I'd like to share something tonight with these precious folk that have gathered on this prayer meeting night. It's cold outside. Thank you for a warm church, Lord. Lord, I don't only thank you, Lord, for the church being warm because of the heat pumps. I thank you, Lord, for the church that's warm with your love. Thank you, Lord, even as Brother Bride was making the announcement about the map, that we want to make sure we tell everybody. We don't want to miss anybody. We want to make sure, Lord, we get that good news out everywhere. God, I appreciate you tonight. Thank you, Lord, for this privilege. What a privilege it is to stand here tonight, Lord, with this precious book open in front of me. Lord, what a privilege it was last night to glean from this chapter. I pray, God, that you'd bring that spirit of that study into this service now. God will give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's go back in 1 Corinthians, and I'm not going to go verse by verse through the entire chapter, but it's kind of the Lord, the way the Lord's given it to me, it's in some little segments tonight. And the first thing I want to say tonight is, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory, that this victory is through the Savior. You might say, well, preacher, that's kind of elementary. I'll tell you what, if we're not careful, we'll forget it. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. But Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And what I see here, look at verse number 1 of chapter 15. He said, Paul said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. I want to show you something tonight. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. Now watch this. How that, what's that next word? Christ. How that Christ died for our sin according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scripture. There's a lot in this generation, and I suppose in every generation, that's been said about the plan of salvation. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I tell you what, if the plan causes you to miss the man, there's something wrong with that. Amen. Our victory is not in a plan. Our victory is in the man, Christ Jesus. There's one mediator between God and man. The man, Christ Jesus. And I tell you who Paul met on the road to Damascus. He met the man. I mean, Paul was full of pride. Paul thought he was doing God a service. Paul was killing the Christians. But I tell you what, when he met the man knocked him off his high horse. And the man shone light all around him. Amen. And Christ Jesus, the man, the Savior, the victory began in Paul's life through an encounter with the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody that's ever been saved has had an encounter with the Savior. Amen. I mean, listen, when you have an encounter with Him, isn't it odd? You know, you can make up all kinds of excuses not to be saved. You can talk about them people down at the church, them hypocrites. One guy told my grandfather that one time. He said, I'm not going to that church. He said, there's too many hypocrites in that church. My grandfather said, you ought to come right on. Said, one more wouldn't hurt a thing. Amen. And another fellow said, well, there's hypocrites at the gas station, but you still buy gas. There's hypocrites at the bank, but you still go to the bank. There's hypocrites at the hospital, but you still go to the hospital. Amen. Something I learned years ago, you have to be smaller than something to hide behind it. I'd hate to admit I'm smaller than a hypocrite. Amen. To hide behind it. Amen. Amen. And here is the person, the victory comes through the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God for the gospel. It's the gospel of Christ. How that Christ died for our sin, according to the Scripture. I don't know about you, but listen, I believe in my heart there's a danger of that basic cardinal doctrine getting cold in the lives of God's people. I tell you, you want to have a wonderful Thanksgiving? Take you a little trip to Calvary and thank Him, amen, for going there in your place and in my place, amen. Thank Him for dying for our sin. What a blessing. The victory, it comes through the Savior. The Bible said, neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Aren't you glad that God made it so a country boy could understand it, or a city boy could understand it, or a poor boy could understand it, or a rich boy could understand it? I'm glad, thank God, He made it. Listen, He didn't say, I'm one of the ways. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The world's trying to get us to believe that all steeples point up and all religions point to God. My friend, that's not true. Amen. Jesus is the only way to the Father. I appreciate Jesus. Victory comes through the Savior. Now listen to me carefully right here, just a moment. I've examined myself. And when I get down, when I get discouraged, and when I get depressed, when I get despondent in a place where I know some of God's people, I don't know anybody here that's like that, but there's some people that are not in church today. That's exactly where they are. But let me tell you something right now. I can always have a common denominator. There's something between me and Him. How in the world can I be walking with Him and not be separated from Him, have fellowship with Him and not have victory? That's a good question. You can, amen? I believe with all of my heart that is the key. So there's victory through the Savior. This right here I want to give you. Look at verse number 5 through verse number 8. Here's how the Lord spoke to my heart. And I like this. He was seen, and that He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and that He was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. When Paul had written this, some of these saints, these first saints, had already left this world and gone on to be with Jesus. After that, He was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And then He said, last of all, He was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. The Lord spoke to my heart like this. There's victory through the Savior, right? But here's what the Lord spoke to my heart. Not only is there victory through the Savior, but I want to stop and thank God. Thanks be to God for the victory through the Savior. But I want to thank God for the victory that I get to enjoy with other saints. Say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, what, you reckon the Bible, that in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, you reckon God knew what He was talking about when He said, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. That exhort, you know what that means? That means sometimes some of us are a little bit down, amen? And others can pick us up. Next time around, it might be on the reverse, amen? It might be us getting picked up that did the picking up last time. But I thank God, listen, we're a team, amen? And we can enjoy this victory together in the family of God. You know, I don't know about you, but what we witnessed Sunday night was a great victory. The devil lost. You say, preacher, do you believe it was a great victory for the Lord? I know it was. I believe it was a great victory for our church. I believe it was a great victory for the Lord. I believe it was a great victory for heaven. Listen, heaven shouted. The Bible said there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth, more than 99 just persons. I told Brother Steve Dagenhart about you, Brother Kevin. Brother Steve, he calls just every once in a while to check on our church. He'd just been here one time. Amen. I think he kind of like me. He fell in love with you all. If something happens to me, maybe you can call him. Maybe he'll come be your pastor. Amen. He's a good man. He loves the Lord. Amen. I told Brother Steve, I said, I believe old Brother Kevin got good and lost Sunday night. And I said, you know what happens when you get good and lost? You can get good and saved. Ain't nobody got good and saved until they got good and lost. Amen. I praise the Lord. We can have victory through the Savior, but we can have victory with other saints. Amen. I tell you what, I don't know if any of y'all ever played Little League Baseball. Anybody ever play Little League Baseball? I'm going to tell you what. When you hit a home run, I was just a little bitty thing. And I couldn't swing a bat real fast. And one of the reasons why I couldn't swing one real fast, I swung one about as big as I was. I was using a 34-inch bat when I was 11 and 12 years old. But I found out, just come around there, cool, just make contact. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say I can remember some special events, amen, when I made contact. They're still trying to find the ball over in them woods, amen. But listen, well, you know what really made it special? The team. When you run all the way around the bases and there's your team waiting at home plate. That's what really makes it special, amen? I tell you what, we ought to just think about church. Hey, we're a team. Going the same direction. Have the same coach. Hallelujah. Amen. Three preachers sat down at breakfast and one of them said, how many did you have yesterday, brother? And said, so many. He said, how many did you have, brother? Said, so many. One said, ah, I'll beat you both. One of the other preachers kind of bowed his head. He said, I thought we was on the same team. Yeah. We're losing that. Say amen right there. We're on the same team. God's people are on the same team. There's victory through the Savior. I saw that in the chapter. There's victory with other saints. I saw that in the chapter. Look at verse number 9 here. This is pretty good. He said, "For I am the least of the apostles that am not meet to be called apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." Here's what I want to say right here. There's victory over sin. We ought to thank God the victory's through the Savior. We ought to thank God there's victory with other saints. But we ought to thank God there's victory over sin. Paul is no longer persecuting the saints. Paul is now blessing the saints. Paul is now praying for the saints. He's visiting the saints. He's preaching to the saints. Look at chapter 15. Look at verse 55. "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory." Let me tell you something right now. Victory over sin is not just for the grave. We're supposed to have victory over sin now. Read Romans chapter number 6. Here's what it says. "Sin shall not have dominion over you." I believe that. I believe God's people are as apt to make a mistake as David was. Somebody say amen right there. But I'm going to tell you something right now. It's one thing to make a mistake and another thing for it to be a lifestyle. It's one thing, my friend, to fall in a mud hole. It's another thing to wallow in it. Amen. I believe God's people will not live under the dominion of sin. And the victory is through our Lord. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, the Bible said this. Thou shalt, we're coming upon the Christmas season. The play, Brother Rick, "Who is this man called Jesus? Thou shalt call his name Jesus." Now watch this. Here's the way a lot of people live. They act like it says this, "For he shall save his people in their sin." That's not what it said. "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin." Amen. You say, "Preacher, are you preaching that we're supposed to be sinless?" No, but I'm preaching that we're supposed to sin less. Amen. God is supposed to be sanctifying us along the way. We're supposed to have victory. Victory over sin. I believe Paul, the closer he got to God, he'd say things like this. He'd say, "I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." Amen. He said, "For the will is present with me, to how to perform that which is good, I find not. When I would do good, I do not. And when I would not do that evil," he said, that I do. And he said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of this death?" Here's what he said. "I thank my God." I didn't even know the word "thank" was there. But there it is. "I thank my God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Victory over sin. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. Amen. You know the great thing about this, what I'm preaching tonight? Nobody has to lose. If you have a World Series, you're going to have a winner and you're going to have a loser. If you have a, what do they call them college championship games? What do they call them? I'm not real up on that. There's a name for that championship game. What, NCAA? There's another one. What is it? That, you know, Brother John, help me. Amen. You know what I mean. But, amen. But you gotta have a loser. It's a big game. But you gotta have a loser. You know what I thank God about this right here in this chapter? Thanks be to God, which giveth us the big. You don't have to have any losers. Everybody can win that wants to win. For the glory of God. Victory through the Savior. Kevin, I'm preaching to you tonight. We need you to win. You said a while ago, "I need this." And I said every one of us do. You've sat there and think you don't need it. You're in trouble already. Amen. But I tell you tonight, I want to say, we need our brother to win. We need him to win over sin.
We need Him to win. We need Him to win. And He needs us in order to win. We need one another. Amen, team? We need one another. Victory through the Savior. Victory with other saints. Victory over sin. Watch this. I love this. Look at verse number 10 and verse number 11. Here comes, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." I never forget Missy, that meeting in Knoxville. That's something, wasn't it? The pastor asked me to give him a testimony. And I did. And my testimony was this. You know, Moses said, "Whom shall I say sent me?" And God said, "Tell him I am." Remember that? Remember that? And what I did, I went over here to this verse of Scripture and I preached on this subject. By the grace of I am what I am. You'll get that after a while, amen? Paul said, "By the grace of God, I am what I am." Now the Bible said here, His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach and so you believe. You say, "Preacher, what's the next thing here?" It's victory in our service. Paul is now serving the Most High God. And thank God, he's experiencing victory as he serves the Lord. That's why he said in verse 58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." How many knows what it is to have old Slewfoot whisper, "Brother Wayne, you ain't went to them jails all these years without having him jump up on your shoulder as you get in the car and go and say, ain't nothing really happening. There's no use to keep going." Amen. You're not going to be a deacon long. You're not going to teach a class long. You're not going to be faithful to church long. That old devil's going to jump up on you and say, "There ain't no use in doing all that." Just remember what that old devil is. He's a liar. And the father of a lie. God wants us to have victory in our service. Amen. He doesn't want us, our service, just to be ho-hum, lukewarm. Amen. He wants our service to be set ablaze by the Spirit of God. I believe with all my heart tonight, we ought to thank God that gives us the victory. Only thing I've ever thought about in this text was there in the end, when this mortal shall be put on immortality, and this corrupting shall put on incorruption. That's all I ever thought about. But this chapter is laid out full of victory. Victory through the Savior. Victory with other saints. Victory over sin. And victory in our service. I don't know about you tonight, but I'm glad tonight that anything we do for the Lord is never in vain. Sometimes it might look like it is. Sometimes it might seem like it is. Sometimes people might say it is. But I'll guarantee you this right now. If you do it from right there, for Him that's right there, there's a day we're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and we're going to find out then. Let me just say this to you tonight. This really helped me. I thank God for our church. I do. I really do. I thank God for our church. I would like to see our church grow. I'm talking about spiritually. I'm talking about numerically. I'd like to see the church grow, period. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm not going to get hung up on it. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean?" Now listen to me carefully. It helped me one day. I used to go, Brother Matthew, I used to go off to conferences. And these preachers would preach in these conferences. And they'd act like if you ain't baptizing 500 people, why, you ain't doing nothing for God. Amen? And they'd act like only them's going to have a reward. But you know, I got to reading the Bible one day. And God really helped me. Over there in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, when we go to the judgment seat of Christ, the Bible said that God was going to try our works by what sort they are. Not by what size they are. I'm going to tell you something right now. There's pastors that's been up here in these mountains of Virginia and West Virginia. They've been up here and pastored 30 people or 40 people faithfully for 50 years. I'll take a back seat to them. You mark her down. Amen. I believe with all of my heart God's going to bless them for their faithful service. God's not going to bless them because of the result. God's going to bless them. The Bible said, moreover, brethren, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. 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 This world would judge Noah to be a failure. They'd say 120 years of preaching and they wasn't but 8 got on that boat. I tell you what, God didn't put a failure in Hebrews chapter number 11. God put a winner in Hebrews chapter number 11. Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet. He moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. He condemned this whole world. Amen. Thank God tonight. Our service, we can have victory tonight. Look at this in chapter 15 here in verse number 12. Down through verse number 19. Now if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead... By the way, I don't know what all is going to go on that History Channel, but I've already watched the commercial. It won't be of God. I mean, just the commercial said they're going to deny the virgin birth. Say amen. It's hard to tell what they're going to deny. Amen. You know, it really don't matter to me what they deny. Amen. God's Word will stand. I preached a message one time down there in Brushy Mountain as an old preacher. He was from down south of Knoxville. He said, preacher, he said, that preaching don't even need a scotch. It'll stand on its own. This book will stand on its own. It don't need the History Channel to scotch it up. It'll stand on its own. One day they'll stand in judgment before it. By their words be justified, and by their words they'll be condemned. Watch this. Now if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you there's no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. And your faith is also vain. Kevin, what God's saying in that passage of Scripture right there, all that Sunday night is just a joke if Jesus didn't get up. You remember me asking you over there if you believe that Jesus died for your sin and you believe that He rose again the third day. Kevin, if you had looked at me and said, I don't believe He got up, I'd have told you to get up. Because you ain't going to get no help unless you believe He was born of a virgin. Amen. He gave His life. He lived a sinless life. He died a vicarious death and He rose again the third day. He said, preacher, what do you see in this passage of Scripture? I ain't even being able to read through it. Victory over the Sadducees. I'll never forget, Brother Gale, when somebody taught me the major difference between the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They said the Sadducees don't believe in the resurrection. And they said that's very sad, you see. I hope you never forget what the Sadducees don't stand for now. Amen. They don't stand for the resurrection. That's very sad. Thank God tonight. Listen. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. Can I say this to you tonight? I believe you already know it. You're not looking at a miserable man. And I don't believe I'm looking at a miserable congregation. We know our Lord got up. He used to tell them guys down there in the prison, you couldn't go in there and preach against the isms. You couldn't preach against the Muslim religion or anything like that. You just weren't allowed to do it. If you did, you wasn't going to get to go back and preach the gospel. So I tried to figure out ways to do it without, you know, go in. What did the Bible say? Wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Amen. I tell them old boys, I said, now listen, boys, I'm just a country boy from Tennessee. And listen, you can trust somebody that couldn't get themselves up if you want to, but I'm going to be a laying down one day. After a while, I'm going to die. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. I said, you can do whatever you want to, but I'm going to trust the one that got himself up to get me up. But, hallelujah! I said, if you can find his bones, he does not qualify to be the Savior. That's the difference in Christianity and every other religion on the face of the earth. Our Savior got up. You ever think about this, Brother Fred? Here we're in kind of a bad economic situation right now in our country. But you ever think about, it ain't as bad as the devil yet. The devil don't even have the keys to his own business. Jesus took them away from him. Amen. Glory to God. We have victory tonight over the Sadducees. Over that mess that's not preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you tonight, but I'm glad for the victory. Thanks be to God. Not only do we have victory over the Sadducees, but look at verse 20, down through verse number 26. The Bible said, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruit, afterward they that are Christ that is coming. Then cometh the end. He shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign until he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death." Thank God tonight I see right there victory over Satan. Thanks be to God tonight for the victory over Satan. Death, hell, and the grave. I don't know if that's you tonight, but I just want to thank him tonight for the victory. Thank him for the victory. I praise him tonight for the victory. Let me give you one last thing tonight. Our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let me give you one last thing tonight. Look at verse 42 down through verse number 49. "So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption." It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. Have you ever been with a loved one? If it's a younger person, this is not the case, especially if it's something sudden. You ever been with a loved one that's up in years, or how many's ever been to the third floor on Wilcox Hall? It's sown in weakness, isn't it? Lady laying over there yesterday. As far as I know, she doesn't even know she's in this world. And she's weak. But I'm going to tell you something right now. It might be sown in weakness, but it's going to be raised in power. It might be sown in dishonor, but it's going to be raised in glory. It might be sown a natural body, but it's going to be raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body. There is a spiritual body. Watch this. "So it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which was spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven." Glory to God. You say, "Preacher, what do you see here?" I'm done right here. Just stay with me just a minute. There's victory through the second man. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean?" Here's what I mean. David said it like this: "I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." You say, "Preacher, what are we going to be like?" A better question would be, who are we going to be like? We're going to be like Jesus. Victory through the second man. I'm trying to quote it. It don't come like it used to. Amen. 1 John chapter number 3. It's just not coming. Somebody look up 1 John chapter 3 and get me started. 1 John chapter 3. Give me just a couple words anyway. "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." Amen. Give me the next word, brother. "Beloved now." Thank you, Brother Gary. "Are we the sons of God? It doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is." Hallelujah. The Bible said, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. How many believe when we see him, we're going to be like him? Now, how many believe since when we see him, we're going to be like him? We ought to just go ahead and be just as much like him as we possibly can now. Amen? Amen. That's what happened down there at Antioch. Those people acted so much like Jesus. Now, let me give you something right here. This is a real compliment. You remember when Jesus, you remember who Herod thought he was? He thought he was a resurrected John the Baptist. You remember that? Now that speaks highly of John, don't it? Say amen. That when somebody looked at Jesus, they thought John that had died had done got up. Amen? I'm telling you right now. Sometimes I believe we spend too much time in defeat because we don't understand that we've got the power in the name of Jesus. We can be like Him. We don't have to wait. We can be like Him. Not completely. Yes, we're still in a battle, but we can. That's what sanctification is. He's setting us apart. He's making us more. More. I love that song. More. More about Jesus. More of His saving fullness see. More of the One who died for me. Wives, if you see your husband getting down a little bit, help him up. Husbands, if you see your wives getting down a little bit, encourage them. Amen. Help them up. Church, if we see one another, we spot somebody that just not on top side the way they ought to be. Listen, let's not step on them while they're down. Let's reach down yonder and help them up. Bear one another's burdens. And so fulfill the law of Christ. I'll tell you this right now. Your pastor needs your prayers. How many of y'all know that? If the day would ever come and I mount that pulpit over and over and over and over again in defeat, we're in trouble. I need to have some victory in my soul. As far as I know, there's not an individual in this church that I don't have a wonderful relationship right now. And I thank God for that. And I'm going to tell you something right now. One of us gets down. You remember the story. Was it her, Aaron, and her over there, Brother Brian, that lifted up the hands? Was it Moses when he let it? Who was it, brother? Somebody help me. Amen. Was it Aaron? Okay, and Aaron and who? Her lifted up the hands of Moses, didn't he? Is that the one I'm talking about? And when his hands was lifted up, they won, didn't they? There was some victory going on. And when his hands went down, am I right or am I wrong? I didn't intend on saying that tonight. The battle turned the other way. So it looks to me like, you know, I don't even think they had a football game back there, but Moses was saying, touchdown! Glory to God! His people are winning! Amen. Amen. My grandfather, some of my dad's brothers, tried to get him interested in football. He got to where he couldn't do anything except sit in a chair. And they tried to get him interested in football, and he sat there and he watched about half of a football game. And they said, Pap, said, what do you think? That's good, ain't it? He looked at him and he said, I just don't know why they don't buy them all a ball and quit fighting over at one. That seemed like a cheaper solution to him. Amen. A lot less concussions and broken bones and all that. Amen. Amen. Guess what tonight? We can all have victory. 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 It's more than just a song. There's victory in Jesus. Amen. How many's glad you come tonight? Y'all are easy to preach to. Do you know that? Amen. Somebody be wanting my job before it's over with. You can't have it. Amen. I love it. I love it. You know, Brother Gail said, I don't want it. Amen. Amen. I love you tonight. Let's help one another. It ain't going to be long. We're going to cross that finish line. Amen. I believe it'll be humbling. Sometimes an athlete crosses that finish line and he's just nothing short of arrogant and cocky. I don't believe it'll be like that for God's people. I believe it'll be humbling. There's a songwriter that came out with a song years ago, and one of the lines in the song says, looks like we made it. Thank God we made it. Our feet have touched heaven's shore. I believe we'll be humble, more humble than we've ever been. More thankful than we've ever been. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, thank you tonight. This wonderful group of people. God, I know tonight there's people sitting right here in this building that don't feel like being here. Lord, they're here. They love you, Jesus. They love the church. God, I thank you for them. God, I pray tonight you'd give them an extra special blessing. Father, I pray tonight you'll help Brother John as he goes to get them knees operated on shortly. Or that knee, one first. And God, I pray you'll just help our people that's been through some trying times. God, just help them to draw close, real close to Jesus. Draw close to the church, close to one another. God, I pray for these new converts. I pray for Kevin. God, he don't know tonight. He don't have the idea, Lord, what an encouragement it is to this pastor to see him sitting there tonight, soaking up the Word of God. Lord, I pray for Zach. God, that you'll just help him. Lord, I pray for the youth outing on Friday night, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would just bless it. May it be a special time of fellowship. I pray, Lord, as the coats and the hygiene items are taken over next Thursday, God, I pray somebody could be warm as a result of the warmth that you put in the hearts, the people at Bible Way. God, I'm thrilled to be here. I pray, Father, tonight that we would never, never, ever take for granted this wonderful privilege that we have. Lord, we love you. I pray, Lord, as we approach the season, that, Lord, it would be more than just a season for your people. God, that we would in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Thank you, Lord. Amen.